Move this back a little bit. Good evening, everybody. I'd like to open with a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for your help during my preparations for this lesson. And I ask you now, Lord, to give me the words that you would like your people to hear. And I would ask that you would open their hearts and minds, Lord, to receive the lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. So, King Solomon has long been one of my favorite people in the Bible. The writings in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes have inspired me, and they helped me through a lot of rougher moments in my life. So this evening, I'd like to focus on Solomon and some of the things that we can learn from him and the choices he made in his life. Now, Solomon became king at a fairly young age. I wasn't able to find the exact age, but from most sources seem to agree that he was either in his late teens or his early 20s when he first became king. Solomon is perhaps most well known for being the wisest and richest king that ever lived. We read that in 1 Kings, the third chapter, verses 11 through 14, which that's God's answer after he asked Solomon. God had asked Solomon for one thing that God would grant him. And Solomon asked him for wisdom to lead his people. And God's response to him is found here. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life, nor for wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Now, throughout his reign as king, Solomon accomplished many great things. Such as he brought peace and riches to Israel through political treaties with locals there. He built the Lord's temple and he built a palace for himself, which both became wonders of the ancient world and together took 20 years to construct and made out of much gold and other riches. He accumulated thousands of chariots and horses for his army. He made gold and silver as common as stone in Israel, as we read in the Bible. He also wrote three of the books which we now have in the Bible: Song of Solomon, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. But despite all of the great things he achieved in his life, Solomon was still just a man. The wisest man, but he was still just a man. And as a man, he was vulnerable to sin. Throughout his reign, he took 700 wives that were foreign wives and 300 concubines, and he allowed them all to continue worshiping their gods, their own foreign gods. And even worse than that, he went after these idols himself. He built altars to these gods for burnt incense and sacrifices to these pagan idols. And we can read God's judgment of Solomon for those sins in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, verses 9 through 13. "The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared before him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, 'Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hands of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but I will give him one tribe for the sake of David my servant and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen.'" In his 40-year reign as king, of king over Israel, Solomon went from the heights of success. By any account, Solomon had achieved great success. He was very wise. He was the king over the most powerful nation of, you know, Israel. He had riches that have since not been matched and were never. So by all earthly wisdom accounts, Solomon had the greatest success that we can think of. And he was even, he was even loved by God. But he went from all those successes to rock bottom. He had the kingdom taken from him, from his son, and he was he was directly responsible for Israel splitting into two nations, Israel and then Judah, who fought each other on numerous accounts. Now, what can we learn from Solomon's life, from his journey and the decisions that he made? It's pretty obvious that he highly valued wisdom. It was the one thing that he asked from God when God said that, you know, that he would give him something. He asked for wisdom to lead the people. Also, we see in Proverbs, he spends the first 10 chapters writing to his sons about the values of wisdom, and then proceeds for the rest of it to talk, to give wisdom, and to try and teach wisdom. He even makes a warning in Ecclesiastes that there is no end to the pursuit of wisdom. And there's some conclusions that I think we can draw from what we've read about Solomon and from what we know about him. The first one that I want to bring up is to be careful about who's close to your heart and where they will lead you. For these reasons, God had strictly forbidden the Israelites from marrying foreign women for that very reason, so that they wouldn't take their hearts away from our God. And as we saw earlier, that was Solomon's big downfall, is that he allowed all of his wives to take his heart from God. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong for a modern Christian to marry a non-believer, but if the wisest man to ever live was unable to keep his heart set on the Lord in those circumstances, I personally don't want to take my chances. The next conclusion that I want to draw from Solomon's deeds is that everyone is vulnerable to sin. Even the wisest men, old in age, everyone's vulnerable. That's part of the reason that we meet here every week together, that we remember the Lord, that we worship and praise him, is to constantly focus our hearts and minds on our God. There's one final note that I'd like to leave you with, and those are the last words that Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, which he wrote Ecclesiastes towards the end of his life, after he'd had a chance to kind of reflect on everything that he'd done and all of the riches and honors that he'd been given. Throughout Ecclesiastes, as we read, he comes to the conclusion that all the riches and the honors of this world, as well as the desires of the flesh, are all meaningless. I'd like to read Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So that last phrase there, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. That's what I'd like to leave everyone with to remember. And if anyone wants to come forward as we stand and sing the closing song.